This is Health Dose, a podcast from My Michigan Health focusing on different issues related to your health. In this episode, we speak with Dr. Peter Ng, who specializes in family medicine and sees patients at My Michigan Health Vassar. While not diseases, nausea and vomiting are symptoms of many different health conditions. Today, we will discuss with Dr. Ng signs, symptoms, and treatments. And so, Dr. Ng, really appreciate the time today. Let's simply start out by asking your definition of nausea and vomiting.
Yeah, so thanks for having me, Brad. So, nausea and vomiting, very common symptoms that we see a lot in like primary practice as well. So, usually nausea is described as the unpleasant sensation that vomiting might occur. It's like a very common sensation as well. Whereas vomiting is the forceful expulsion of gastric contents from the mouth. The biggest thing we also have to distinguish from vomiting is regurgitation, where regurgitation is an involuntary reflux of gastric contents into the esophagus and sometimes through the mouth without the abdominal wall contraction. Very common symptoms as well. So I look forward to like kind of talking more about that in detail.
Let's, I guess, touch on now the difference between a couple of different types of nausea and vomiting, between acute and chronic nausea, and how you kind of differentiate between the two.
Yeah, so acute nausea and vomiting, typically the definition is it lasts up to 7 days. We consider that still in the acute phase. Whereas chronic nausea and vomiting, that can be more for longer than about 4 weeks. We usually don't have a definitive period between the 1 to 4 week mark, but usually anything that's greater than 4 weeks, we consider that chronic nausea and vomiting.
And so when you see patients come in, I'm sure there are, as you would call, alarm symptoms or signs that would point you in the direction of concern in adults in this space. What are some of those signs and concerns?
Yeah, so definitely the alarm symptoms we have to watch out for when we see patients in practice. So taking a very important history as well will kind of lead us to see if these alarm symptoms do appear. But one of the alarm symptoms, if their age is greater than 55 years old, if they've had like a change in bowel habits, so any concerns of like going from like diarrhea, then like constipated, or if their stool starts becoming loose again. Another factor is early satiety. If they're eating slowly, like getting full much more quicker than usual. If they had frequent vomiting, which is kind of like a gross description, but if you're vomiting fecal matter out of the mouth as well too. Persistent vomiting, even if like you're trying to like control it, it's still persistent. That's something just to watch out for as well. Another alarm symptom could be progressive dysphagia. So dysphagia just meaning difficulty swallowing. If you know that you're eating is having more difficulty swallowing, that can be a warning sign as well too. Anyone that's having like very severe abdominal pain out of proportion. And anyone that's also had an unintended weight loss, and we usually define that by greater than about 5%. Those would be kind of like the more alarm symptoms to kind of watch out for.
And so those are the signs. I'm sure folks are wondering, how do I prevent getting to that point? What are some of the common causes of, I guess, let's start with acute nausea?
Yeah, so there's definitely a few causes, but the number one cause of acute nausea that we usually see is gastroenteritis. So essentially a viral stomach bug, but there's definitely other viral symptoms that can also cause the nausea vomiting as well. So now we're kind of like in that flu season, so influenza, COVID, those are kind of big things that can cause nausea vomiting as well. Foodborne illness is another one as well. We've definitely seen in the news a lot of like the E. coli outbreaks, listeria outbreaks, so things of that nature from foodborne as well. Acute migraine and headaches, sometimes with like you're sensitive to light as well. That sometimes can cause like some nausea, vomiting, any balance issues of what we call vestibular disturbances, someone that, you know, might be early in pregnancy, and also adverse effects of medication. So sometimes when we usually prescribe medication, a very common sign symptom is nausea that can be started with those symptoms as well. So those would be the big causes of acute nausea.
Is there a difference between the causes in chronic nausea too? And I guess what are some of those if there are differences?
Yeah, so chronic causes, there's definitely a lot more difference as well, especially if their symptoms have been persisting for a couple of weeks as well too. So I usually like kind of group it into like different organ systems as well. The biggest one will be like the gastrointestinal, an infectious etiology, metabolic or endocrine disorders as well too, neurologic, psychiatric, or any medications or toxins as well. And the biggest important part with chronic nausea vomiting, it's kind of like a puzzle as well too, because so many things and organ systems can be involved with causing all these. So usually in the practice, when we see a patient, we have to get a pretty thorough history to kind of narrow down like which organ system might be involved as well too. And then kind of once we narrow down our potential like differential diagnosis, then we kind of work that up to like see what the causes of the nausea and vomiting, whether it be through laboratory imaging, blood work, things of that nature.
Dr. Peter Ng is joining us today. He sees patients at My Michigan Health Vassar to discuss nausea and vomiting in adults. I guess, Dr. Ng, we've talked through some symptoms, some signs, some causes of that. Let's start with how we discuss the treatment by starting with some non-pharmacological agents for that.
Yeah, so non-pharmacological treatments for nausea and vomiting, especially biggest things, we want to make sure we're not dehydrated. Nausea and vomiting can definitely lead to dehydration. So making sure that we get appropriate fluid intake if we can, things that have electrolytes with the fluids as well as our electrolyte mixer. Sometimes we may recommend like having patients like drink some like Gatorade or Pedialyte as well to just kind of get their electrolytes replaced in your system. We do recommend, you know, eating smaller meals as well too, to kind of like make sure that the stomach isn't too upset as well too, and avoiding any food triggers that may have initially caused the nausea or vomiting in the first place. So, but biggest goal, fluid resuscitation, hydration is the biggest goal.
And are there some common medications then for treatment of nausea and vomiting in adults that you'd recommend more times than not?
Yeah, so if like the fluid resuscitation, hydration and stuff hasn't worked, there are a few common medications that we could use for acute nausea and vomiting. So there are a couple of classes as well. One of the most common classes we use are serotonin antagonists. So Zofran or ondansetron, very commonly used. We use it as like a first line for acute gastroenteritis, but we also can use it for pregnancy-induced nausea as well. Another class we could use is antihistamines and anticholinergic. So a common class such as like diphenhydramine or Benadryl. Those can help for our like motion sickness or vertigo with those that can cause like nausea and vomiting. Scopolamine is also a very common one as well too, but that's more of a patch form as well. We also use it for motion sickness for patients that may be, you know, having, you know, going on a flight, travel history, on a boat as well too. Sometimes that can be used as well. Another class that we could use is in the class of dopamine antagonists. So metoclopramide is a very common one. We can use it for acute gastroenteritis, but a very common use for that is gastroparesis, which is kind of like very delayed emptying of the stomach that can cause symptoms of nausea and vomiting. We see that a lot in diabetic patients. But those are the big three classes as well. I usually would start with like Zofran as like the first line, just see if that helps with like helping the symptoms of nausea and vomiting.
Do you see a large amount of adults that come in while they're pregnant? That's obviously a common time for nausea and vomiting. I guess what's a common treatment for them and how often are you treating pregnant patients?
Yeah, definitely. So I definitely did see a lot of that when I was doing my residency training as well. But right now, usually the most common lines of treatment for pregnancy-induced nausea, usually we start with our pyridoxine, which is a vitamin B6 or ginger as well too. If that doesn't seem to help, there is a combination of a medication called dioxylamine and pyridoxine, which is an antihistamine and vitamin B6 combined. Some people may have heard it as like training of diclofenac or diclofenac as well. We use that to help with like pregnancy-induced nausea.
Lastly, Dr. Ng, again, joining us from My Michigan Health Vassar, discussing nausea and vomiting in adults today. Folks that might be experiencing these issues, they might be thinking, well, I don't think I really need to see a doctor yet. At what point should they be seeking medical attention for these issues?
Yeah, so for adults, I would say if they're still having persistent nausea and vomiting, after 24 hours, doesn't seem to be improving, I would seek attention either through urgent care or through your primary care doctor as well. I usually would say for children and infants as well, if it's greater than 6 to 12 hours, I would seek attention much quicker, even though I think maybe talking about adults, but for the kiddos, definitely a lot earlier as well. So,
and so then let's look at maybe a real life example here. Someone is dealing with an issue like this, and they might be debating whether or not to call their primary care provider or to seek emergency attention at their local hospital. Where would you draw that line for a patient like that?
Yeah, so some of the biggest signs, for instance, if I'm concerned where they should probably head to the emergency department right away, is if there's any altered mental status. So if there's concerns for confusion, not knowing where they are as well, to sometimes focal neurological deficits. So if they're concerned for like either some vision loss or anything like that, that's something I would seek more attention care in the emergency department. Sometimes another symptom if I see what they call jaundice, so yellowing of the skin as well too, that could be a sign there's something going on with like the liver as well too that's causing this nausea and vomiting. Those would be more appropriate to go to the emergency department as well, where they can get appropriate imaging more quickly and blood work more quickly to kind of figure out what's going on. And obviously sometimes if they do present in my office and I'm concerned that I see these warning signs as well too, I will send them directly to the emergency department right away.
Again, a special thank you to Dr. Peter Ng on this edition of Health Dose, a podcast from My Michigan Health focusing on different issues related to your health. Dr. Ng currently sees patients at My Michigan Health Park Vassar. To schedule an appointment, call 989-823-5020. He is currently open to new patients in Vassar. And as always, if you have health concerns, you should check in with your primary care provider. If you need help finding one, please visit mymichigan.org/doctors.